Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the WrestleTalk podcast. I imagine most of you have just come from the WrestleTalk news episode where we announced the biggest signing in the history of, well, I guess WrestleTalk.
Well, that's very kind.
It's Adam Blompier.
It's me. Hi, Oliver. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't think we've ever signed anyone before. Everyone else has been organically homegrown.
No, looking forward to that big signing bonus. When's that coming through?
So the Royal Rumble fantasy booking is, yeah, we thought because you're on the team now, you're here.
I am.
Let's just squeeze you for content.
Oh my God.
You're our content sponge right now.
I'm uncomfortable. Thank you very much for having me. Yes, the Rumble prediction video went all right. That was cool. It turns out I am some sort of weird soothsayer, apparently, according to people who tweeted at me. They send me tweets like, I can't believe Adam's predicted the first two entrants. I was like, well, everyone knew Brock.
You could do no wrong, to be honest.
No, exactly. What was the final poll
result?
I'll
get it up now. I never actually announced it.
Why is that?
It's just, you know, something, it's not that I'm against losing or the unfairness of the whole situation, but it's not a priority for me.
No, absolutely. It's not about gourds and trinkets.
No.
But what was it just so we can satisfy, close off the narrative?
You won.
Did I?
I don't know
That's surprising. How much by?
Congratulations.
No, obviously that means a lot, but how big was the victory?
So YouTube has updated their back end and it's a nightmare to navigate.
Yeah, you can probably find it if you look hard enough.
Oh no, this is the same as it was before. That's interesting. Okay, well, yep, the results are a few more clicks away. Or we could just talk about the creative process.
We could, but right. We're not going to. So let's see what happens with the...
Here it is. So it's the poll. Who booked it better? I'm going to click on it. 3, 2, 1. Right, that's quite a few more for you.
You got double figures, though, didn't you?
Well, just.
Exactly 10%. Ooh.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
So in YouTube's fantastic maths, quick maths, you got 89%.
And you got 10%.
And I got 10%.
1% undecided.
So I'm going to take that 1%?
Yeah.
I got 11%.
I donate that to you. That's fair. It was fun to do it again. The Rumbles are always the most fun to book. It's kind of laying out kind of like names on a piece of paper, like writing them down on a little scrap piece of paper and just putting them on a big timeline. So I don't forget who's eliminated. I forgot during the video to eliminate Edge. Whoops. But I got the person who eliminated him correct.
Mr. Another example of you being able to tell the future.
That's right. I got Seth Rollins at number 30. I got someone kicking Brock in the dick, and that's what got him eliminated. That's what happened. They probably saw our video.
Definitely. Paul Heyman.
Shortly after voting for me in the poll, they decided to stop the presses. I've got an idea.
Well, let's not discount them watching the whole video and seeing my half and then knowing what not to do.
Yeah. I liked yours. I liked yours a lot. I voted for you. I actually did. But the John Morrison Kofi thing, I cannot believe they didn't do.
I know, because it was so feasible.
Between the both bookings, that was literally the best thing.
I think my problem was I never said any of the stuff out loud to enough people before doing it. Whereas you've got a lot more experience. You would have. How was it coming back to the fantasy booking after? When was the last time you fantasy booked something? Like 2 years?
Yeah, I wrote those books, which are no longer in circulation. I wrote a couple of new bookings for them, which was fun. But that was very much kind of like writing it for pros. Whereas the last time I wrote something for camera performance, mid 2017.
Blimey.
So coming up on 3 years. But it was a lot of fun to do. The Rumbles are the best ones because you can do stuff that you normally you can't do. You can have people stepping up to people they wouldn't be able to. And it's just, pulling out of, surprise returns. You of course, it was about 65% surprise returns, including Austin Aries, which I thought was I can't believe that didn't, because you obviously, you do a lot of wrestling news, you hear a lot of rumors and inside talk. I was like, wow, okay, Ollie knows something that we don't. And then Austin Aries didn't show up, maybe he missed his flight.
It was, so that was a case of me thinking I need more.
And the wow factor.
I looked at everyone who wasn't signed with anyone else at the moment, and his was a name that wasn't Enzo and Cass.
You know, they screwed me over as well, because I took it seriously and went to Wikipedia and looked at everyone who was officially announced. You know, just a bit.
You say they screwed you over.
Yeah, WWE screwed me over. Right. Because they took Heavy Machinery out, they took Rusev, and they took Bobby Lashley out. It was nowhere near what they said. Kane wasn't in there? Kane?
Which one?
The Kane.
Machine or Velasquez? Because neither, really.
Neither. I mean, I wasn't really expecting Velasquez.
Do you know, they apparently told him he was going to be in it.
Well, he tweeted that he was going to be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off of the back of them saying, yeah, don't worry, your first Rumble. Super excited.
Probably, mate.
Nah, I don't need it.
Nah, it's cool. Right result, I thought. Me and my friends were kind of like predicting, and I said, like, thinking with my head, Roman Reigns, thinking with my heart, Kofi, and then the wild card was Drew. And I think that's a really, 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 really good decision. He hasn't won it, you see. And people who haven't won the Royal Rumble should win the Royal Rumble, I think. Do you think Roman Reigns is going to be number two forever?
Well, like making it to the final two.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good use of him. I think Cena had that role for a while because you always think the company are going to put him over. Mm. And that heightens the drama considerably. I think a final two of McIntyre and Reigns worked far better than him and Edge, for instance.
Yeah. Why do you think he's really good at... He's basically a tool now for kind of manipulating the crowd. Just like, Edge can't win it, but we don't want McIntyre to eliminate him. So just put Roman Reigns in the mix. He can do that, soak up all the boos, and as soon as he gets eliminated, Drew soaks up all the heat. It's amazing. Like, he's become just sort of like this weird Royal Rumble buffer. Like, he exists in one Rumble verse. Like, that is his sort of match that he could probably never win again. Unless they keep doing him as, like, number two for years and years and years, until eventually fans are like, oh, you know what, Reigns can actually win this Rumble, but we're not there yet. No, it's the only match I think people don't want him to win anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think people have come around on Roman Reigns in general. I think he's just, a little bit of the John Cena thing. He's had too many good matches. He's kind of paid his dues. He's like, John Cena's gone, and now he is like the kind of the full-time face of the company. It's just like, people will give him respect. It's just not in the Rumble. Mm. He can't win that. He's not allowed.
Well, it just means, it's another 3 months of Roman to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Roman at the top again.
I just think, like, he is in such a position where he never needs to be in the Rumble. He can just walk out and say, big dog, woof, woof, I want Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, and everyone will be just like, that tracks. But people like Drew, it kind of, that adds that extra level of spice to the feud, because, he's, And also, I thought it was beautiful. Like, if he's going to eliminate Brock, yeah, absolutely. Double down, lean into it, and push him all the way. That completely makes sense.
You said a controversial thing on your first day in the office, which was essentially Brock Lesnar is the greatest wrestler. Mm-hmm. Was it currently working or of all time?
Currently working. For what a wrestler is to WWE. He's WWE's greatest wrestler.
Yeah. And I said, let's not lead with that as a video title.
Cowards. I wanted it to be my first top 10. He's my favorite wrestler going, I think. Like, it really goes in and out. Mm. Like, Daniel Bryan's great. AJ Styles is great. But they've also kind of like... They're stars. They wax and wane. Like, they can be in really exciting stuff, and they can be in really kind of not exciting stuff. I'm kind of always pumped to see a Brock Lesnar match, even if I know it's going to be one of those ones he doesn't really show up for. I am, like, on Raw, I can take or leave it. Don't watch Raw anyway. Who does? But in terms of pay per view, I think he's been the most consistently performing big match wrestler in the last decade. I think he's phenomenal. He's a freak. He's really good at things that people don't give him credit for being really good at. He's phenomenal at selling.
Oh yeah.
He does amazing facials. Like, every time he's in a match and says something, it becomes like the big wrestling meme, like "Ooh, big boy" when Keith Lee was walking to the ring, or I think he's been so carefully managed. And to be honest, like, I know a lot of people hate him because he disappears, but I quite like it.
Keeps him special.
Yeah, exactly. And not even just that. I sort of like fan trolling a little bit. Mm. Like, I like the fact
you
that people...
Did you say trolling?
Was it trolling?
I would say trolling.
Trolling?
Like a troll.
I'm supposed to be the posh one. No, trolling. I don't know. It
trolling.
Sounds, trolling. It sounds like something... Yeah, it's more onomatopoeic. Trolling sounds like deliberate and
crafted. Now you're making it sound weird.
You sound weird. I think he's like, his kind of disdain for the business, however much of a work that is, because no one can really tell. I'm sure he would rather not be doing what he's doing, but he's so good at it. And when he tries, it's amazing. I think the first half, I showed someone who wasn't a huge fan of wrestling. And the wonderful thing about Brock is there's a complexity to his character for people who like wrestling, but such a compelling simplicity to his character for people who don't. I showed it to someone who wasn't a fan, and they loved the first half, and as soon as he was gone, they got bored.
Oh,
like,
my way.
After 10 or so minutes, they were just like, I'm not as into it, because it was such a compelling story. And I know a lot of people were just like, oh, boo, it's Brock. He's going over the entire roster. And it's like, well, yeah, he's the champion. He makes sense. Like, no one makes more sense as WWE champion in a combat perspective than Brock Lesnar. I think he's really great.
So for that first half where he was just running through people, and because Elias was the first out after him, which you had predicted.
I did predict that.
Not Matt Riddle, like I had said, and then Goldberg.
I mean, Matt Riddle did, he lasted almost as long as your prediction. Like, you predicted him lasting, what, an hour five?
Yeah, pretty much till the final four.
Is that, because you know more about, like, insider stuff than me. I'm very much on the outside where I enjoy it. But was that a punishment?
Yeah, so initially they said, no, it's not a punishment. When me and Luke saw it on the live reactions, we were like,
that's a punishment.
That's a punishment.
Yeah.
Because around the same time, there were these reports of Lesnar and Riddle having this backstage verbal altercation, where some of the... Oh, I can't remember the verbiage that Lesnar said, but it was just, you know, if you imagine Brock saying it to you, you just crap your pants.
With his crazy high voice and his giant...
Maybe Heyman just said it all for him.
Yeah, probably. Well, Brock just kind of danced in there.
And then Matt Riddle apparently just no-sold it, really. He was like, whatever, bro. But then, then he comes out, gets eliminated by Baron Corbin right away.
In less than a minute, right?
Yeah, it was before the next person came out, so that's 90 insane. Seconds. And, yeah, I think it's a case of Vince... The worst case scenario here is Vince McMahon doesn't see anything in him, which is why he just fed him to Corbin and sort of played with the smart fans. And kind of punished him, I guess, because Brock was unhappy with him.
Yeah.
But everyone else does see something in him. because Triple H obviously adores him. Everyone, yeah, of course. Everyone with some smarts.
And you only have to look at like the Women's Rumble. Obviously, like there is a little, there's fewer big characters on the main roster in the women's division than there is in the men's. But just the amount of NXT and just and well, like look at Bianca Belair, right? It's clear. Yeah. It's clear that even if Vince is not as involved in NXT as Triple H, it's clear that Triple H carries some sway just in that booking. Like she holds the current. Well, both the record for eliminations for Women's Rumble is tied between two NXT superstars now.
Oh, is it? Well, what is Michelle McCool? Ah, right.
Oh, no, yeah, Bianca got the new record, and then Shayna got it in the same Rumble.
Nice.
But in like a third of the time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
On the Brock booking at the start, how did you feel in the Kofi spot? Because you had Kofi to win in your fantasy booking.
I did.
And there was a bit of a tease that it could happen for a moment.
Well, he was the first one that survived the 90 seconds. Mm. So they gave him that. Other than that, like, yeah, he didn't look. Even in my booking, it's not... the story wasn't Kofi can go toe-to-toe with Brock, which for me makes... the idea of a Kofi Brock Mania match where in the narrative trope Kofi's supposed to win, that's what makes that feud interesting. Like, Drew is a more believable contender, but in that way it kind of makes it seem a little flatter. Like, yeah, I believe Drew can pin Brock Lesnar. I don't necessarily know how Kofi would do it, and that journey for me is what made me want to put Kofi over in the Rumble. But yeah, it felt like a little bit of a consolation prize. Like, you get to last the 90 seconds, you get to do a little bit of hot fire at the beginning, and then bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, then your friends can come in, your small army against Brock Lesnar.
Because it was him, Rey Mysterio.
And Big E,
yeah.
I loved it when Brock did the poetry in motion. That was incredible. That's the thing, Brock does these things. And you like everyone forgets that he can do it. Like when do you remember that match he had with Samoa Joe, which was brilliant?
Great balls of fire.
Great balls of fire. But like when he just scuttled out of Joe's legs and just went in, like he or when at the beginning of the Rumble, right? When Elias is taunting him, Brock Lesnar moves so quickly he himself cannot keep up with himself and he almost stabs it on the outside. Like, imagine Brock Lesnar running at you with that speed. Like, he's not a slow... He's a cat, but just one that's been inflated. He's insane. I love him. But I also, like... It's that kind of push-pull, hatred, Yeah, oh, he's like, he takes the belt hostage, but like he's like this kind of mythical dragon that everyone hates, the fact that he's hoarding all of this attention and booking and glory and money and prizes. And that just makes it, whenever someone steps to him, much more special. I think he's, yeah, the best character currently going. Maybe not. Maybe The Fiend is a better character, like in terms of character work, but Brock is, he's a really weird, complex, simple beast. But yeah, the beginning as well, Eric Rowan came out with a stupid cage.
They've dropped the cage this week. Well, there was no Rowan at all, so I guess it's still there. Mm. But it seems to have taken a few steps back. Because there was a moment where he was getting nibbled by whatever was in the cage.
And it spat red mist.
Yeah,
red
viscous liquid.
It's going to be Hornswoggle, we realize.
No.
You know that's true. Do you like it?
No.
Good.
But, you know, the comes...
It's difficult to tell what you like, because you do like heavy machinery, which apparently everyone does, and I don't get it. But I didn't get the R-Truth thing until, like, I was literally kind of battered into... To be fair, before the 24/7 championship, I do think R-Truth was a bit crap. But he has made that brilliant.
Yeah.
And I can't believe they wasn't in the Rumble. And nowhere, like, was the 24/7 championship even on the pay-per-view at all?
No, that was the one thing that we both did independently of
it's
each other.
It's the first year of it being as a thing. I scrubbed through, like, I didn't watch the entire pay-per-view, but I scrubbed through and I didn't see any mention of it. Is Mojo still the champion?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was beaten by Drew McIntyre on this week's Raw in a non-title match.
But what? Isn't
I wouldn't
it
be against
a non-title match.
Oh, like, it's different. Well, Mojo's trying to do something
the
different.
The ultimate challenge, the 24/7 championship, the WWE championship.
Yeah, really put over the belt.
Winner take all.
Well, I thought it would be quite good to put the belt on Drew, and then Drew could just give it to a fan.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because he is like, he's got such a genuine connection with the crowd. Mm. He comes across really. I mean, did you deal with him in WCPW?
Yeah, he was our champion for a while.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, he was our champion when we found out he was going to WWE.
Oh.
Yeah, that was fun. yeah, he was. I think I can say this, Defiance No More. Plus, is, you know, I'm really happy for him. So he was our champ. He was our very, very good champ. I hesitate to say best because I think we had actually a real run of really, really good champs. But he was champion. We were in, it was Florida, right? We were in Florida. We did our show, which was fine. a little less of a production compared to the WrestleMania. But I was just like, so Drew, what are you up to tonight? He was just like, oh, I'm just probably going out, whatever. And I was like, cool, we're going off to see NXT. So me and Pachiti are watching NXT live, and then we see on the Titantron it cuts to Drew McIntyre. We're just like, ooh, okay. Well, he's not, he doesn't seem to be wearing our belt. That's pretty weird. I get why he wouldn't want to tell us. And then afterwards, he basically was like, yeah, I've signed with WWE.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we noticed. So, best of luck. That's fantastic. Do you want to do one more show so you can drop the belt? It's like, yeah, cool. That was a lot of fun. Just like, oh, group WhatsApp, let's just get on that. We have something to discuss.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I think he'll be brilliant. I hope he... Do you think he'll win?
He's got to, right? Because he's big enough. He's a big hoss man.
He is a big hoss man. It wouldn't make sense. Like, the crowd's behind him. It feels like the right time. Don't Braun Strowman it. Don't kind of let the iron go cold. Just do it and see what happens.
I think Lesnar has... Like, Lesnar cannot have the belt now. Mm. I'd be happy if this was Lesnar's last title run for a while. And then he can just feud with people not needing the belt.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, I want to see him just wrestle weird matches against weird contenders. Mm. I'm actually more excited about him versus Ricochet than I have been about any.
I know, like, it's weird.
Well, since him versus Bryan, which was amazing. Again, like, I know, like, some of that is Daniel Bryan, but like, takes two people to tell that story. You need a Goliath as well as a David, and he's the best Goliath in wrestling. Am I in love with Brock Lesnar?
I think you might. I was just about to say, we were going to talk about the fantasy book in a Royal Rumble.
I spent most of the time. Yeah, I just remember that time I interviewed him. That was really...
What happened there?
I made a bad joke and he didn't laugh.
Oh, I remember this. It was on like the 2K carpet thing.
It was,
What was the joke?
I said, and here I am with the most physically impressive specimen in WWE right now. And also Brock Lesnar is here. Because Paul Heyman was also there as well. Neither of them laughed. I mean, Paul Heyman definitely got it. And maybe Brock did as well. But what am I doing? No, but he got in a jab at me. Like later on in the interview, he says, like, you know, we've all got to do our job like you're attempting to do. And I was just like, damn, Brock, come to the quick, son. That hurts. But it was, that was...
He negged you.
He did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Has that now made, like, maybe that was the start of yours and his love affair?
Oh, my God.
Now
I
want to impress
now I'm...
Is that when it began?
Maybe it is. Oh, my God. Can you make me interview Brock Lesnar again?
I'll just give Paul a call.
Yeah, exactly. The Rumble. By the way, number one, I predicted correctly. So well done, me. Number two, number three. And you know what? I'm taking half of number four.
What was number four?
Number four was Robert Roode. To be fair, and my prediction was Dolph Ziggler. Same tag team.
Yeah.
Interchangeable.
I can't see the difference between them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm claiming the first four.
And you got the last one. But in terms of like story bits or high spots, would you have put, what was the one thing from your booking that you would have wanted to have happened in the Royal Rumble itself? WWE did really well with the Edge return and the Drew McIntyre win. And the Brock, I think the Brock thing went on too long overall.
Really?
I think it, because in the process of actually watching it, even retroactively looking back on it, I think it was a 10. It should have been a 10.
Do you think the Drew pop would have been as big if people weren't starting to get sick?
I guess that's the question. I think it could be. Mm. It's still Brock going out.
It's difficult, isn't it? Yeah. To me, it reminded me of one of those jokes where you start telling it and then you tell it some more and it gets really unfunny, but then you stick with it and it gets funny again. Like, I was into it.
And the ricochet low blow.
Yeah, like paying off the Raw thing. That was clever. There was some actual kind of like proper storytelling continuity. I really liked Rated RKO.
Yes.
I just love Randy just kind of like, damn, someone's shredded, doing that little hand gesture over his tummy. I think their match at Mania is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think that's a good choice. I mean, would I have preferred Cena versus Edge? Maybe, but like...
There's
still a really good kind of... That's going to be great. Like, Edge is obviously, we don't know how healthy he is. If this is like coming back as like a last match on his terms, or if he's actually got, cleared to compete on a more regular but more part-time basis.
Well, it's a 3-year deal. Mm. And
oh, is it?
He's competing like 5-6 times a year.
Cool. Oh, I didn't know.
He's properly back.
That's
because,
great.
Yeah, if it was just Edge Orton without that knowledge, I think I'd be, I'm into this, but there's so much potential elsewhere.
The first match back, that's a really good first
match but
back.
Now you've got 3 years after this to sort of tell AJ stuff. Well, he name dropped a lot of people on Raw. It was like Matt Riddle was one of them.
Does he have one of those Cody lists?
Yes, all the tick. What was one of them was Drew, wasn't it?
Was it?
Oh, I can't remember back then. So out of your booking, I would have had the Kurt Angle Baron Corbin spot.
Yeah, like I know I'm flogging a dead horse with that Kurt Angle stuff. Like, because he's my favorite wrestler of all time.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah, yeah. He's. I know. Traditionally, you should go out and put over like a younger star, and I think Baron Corbin has progressed to the kind of character which is worthy of that. Like, I didn't think at the time, like when he was Waiter Corbin, that he was good enough for that. But I think King Corbin is a really entertaining act when he's not eating dog food. And I think he's definitely worthy of that kind of accolade now. I don't know. It's sentimental and it's like not good business practice, but I wanted him to go out on a big feel good. Because it's Kurt Angle. Yeah. Like it's a slightly different level. I don't know.
Well, I think the way you did it is fine because Kurt Angle put over the guy on his way out. Mm. And this is just like a nice bit of comeuppance.
Yeah.
Because Baron's run roughshod for the whole year after that.
Just like a little, just a little parting moment, which isn't quite as sad as watching him. Oh, it was such a slow end of days as well. It was, I found it really difficult to watch. Mm. And I know that, Kurt, one of the reasons why Kurt wanted to go out was because he knows that he's not wrestling to that level. But that's why a little rumble spot, 5 minutes, move at a speed you otherwise wouldn't if you were doing an actual match, and then bye, and then a nice goodbye rather than I hope he's okay. I hope he doesn't do an Undertaker and fall over backstage.
Oh. Should I tell you my bit I would want in there from my booking?
Was it? Can I guess?
Yes.
Was it the Fiend versus Undertaker bit?
No, that's, in retrospect, that might have jumped the shark.
No, that was the best bit of your booking. Yeah.
You say this sarcastically because you've often mocked me out since.
Okay, let's not.
Saying can't wait for that Fiend Undertaker match.
Air our private issues in public, Ollie. But I completely get it. It's like, way back, I was like coming up with like a list of like Undertaker's perfect retirement opponents, and I want to put Kane as number one because it's the story, right? It's the it's the closing the loop, it's the final thing, and everyone being just like, "Are you insane? What will happen to to your credibility if you put if you want to see 50-year-old Mayor Kane versus 50-year-old slow Undertaker like."
With enough smoke and mirrors, though, you can do it. You asked yesterday, actually, about Journey into Darkness. It's right behind your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is the fictional kayfabe.
The canon.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Hang on, let's just have a look.
Explanation of Kane's backstory. No, you can get that.
Okay. Let's have a look-see. Journey into Darkness is a story of a boy who suffers an unspeakable childhood tragedy, losing his family in a fiery blaze. They left him alone at the mercy of strangers who whispered about this friendless child who must be cursed. That's great. Everyone should buy that. You can get it for super cheap online. But yeah, it's just the novelization of.
Should I try and get the audiobook rights?
Yes. Yeah, oh my God.
I wonder who's... You
have to be the voice of Kane's life.
When
it,
we do,
it fits so perfectly.
When we do, I'm not very good at accents. So when we read Big Apple Takedown on the Patreon exclusive one, we do sort of accent roulette, where you just got to chuck an accent for whatever character.
Oh my God!
And they all pretty much end up sounding in New York.
It's the easiest one.
Start off as Russian. No, I was going to say David Arquette.
Oh, that
I think David Arquette as a nostalgia cameo surprise entrant rumble thing.
Having him being able to, held championships in both WWE and WCW, that would be amazing. For me, my favourite bit of your booking, actually, was Kofi and John Morrison's dueling Spider-Man thing. That's the one I actually find really hard to believe they didn't do. Because they didn't do a Kofi save at all.
There was no escape spot.
It was a real combo break.
Yeah.
Which is like, that was a shit. Because you can still do a Kofi escape and not take away from Lesnar's like threatening kind of lovely, handsome, sexy persona. But I was very sad. Yeah, like they had a nice little kind of hope spot thing. But yeah, there wasn't really a creative thing for him or Morrison.
Yeah, because you could still do that spot, couldn't you? In fact, I think it all worked better if Brock eliminates Big E, Ray, and then Kofi saves himself, and Brock's just like, "Oh well, I'll deal with you later."
But then
it's Kofi who hits the low blow rather than Ricochet.
Yeah,
that'd have been neater.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they did Ricochet
setting
up Showdown, and they did the low blow before. But yeah,
it's his major weakness, the dick, isn't it, Brock?
Yes, it's his big glowing reticule, in Resident Evil. everyone's got a dick. That was one of my favorite little weird mini gimmick changes, when Undertaker was just an old man obsessed with getting people in the dick. I really, really dug it. I thought I actually preferred it on the whole. Like, it, I think as like a cohesive piece.
Oh, big statement.
Shinsuke's win. Okay. Like, that Rumble was brilliant. I think this might actually top it. I think this might be my favourite Rumble of the last decade.
Because that was that the, that's the one where Balor, Nakamura.
Yeah, so they did the old versus new.
Roman stat. That's fantastic. Was that 2017?
That was 2018.
2018.
19, I didn't, that was fine. It was fine.
But yeah.
It was fine. But yeah, the two best Rumbles of the last 10 years, definitely. 18 and this year's. And I actually prefer this year's.
But I think this year's is better overall.
Yeah.
Just because I've got more optimism over Drew winning than Nakamura. It's kind of like how your future hopes influence what you're feeling in the present. Where would you, just to close things off then, I guess 2020 Rumble, 2001 Rumble, and everyone loves the 92 Rumble.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's dated horribly.
I think I love 2002 as well. That was the one where Undertaker murdered Maven.
Oh yeah, he's still in.
It's great. Yeah, he's still in the Rumble. 2010 was really, really good. There are elements of all of them, which is why the Rumble's like the best match of the year. Like, there are high spots. I don't think there's a Rumble gone past that doesn't have at least one high spot. Even like a terrible Rumble, like, was it 2012 or 2013, which didn't really have anything going on, at least had like the Godfather turning up, getting immediately eliminated and dancing to the back while his music still plays. Like, there's always one thing. And this just happened to have like a gigantic, like, two really good A stories and a lot of really good storyline progression. One, you know, the return of the year, and also Edge's return as well. I'm such a dick. I'm really sorry. I thought it was, really, really good. The great Rumbles. 2001, perfect. 2002, 2010, and in the last two two years, these two.
Well done, WWE.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Give them their props.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you do good stuff sometime.
What did you think about Charlotte winning?
It's a shame because that was a really good match too, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it held together really well.
I don't mind Charlotte winning. I'm not a big fan of it. But it was the nature of the elimination that got me, where she was doing a sort of plank on the top rope.
Yeah.
And Shayna Baszler just had her. And I guess we're supposed to believe Charlotte is so strong that the advantage of physics just wasn't in Shayna's favour, because all she had to do was push her.
Push her.
But they held on for that for ages, and they had the hard cam, and Charlotte was looking at the hard cam like she was hulking up.
She's just got the strongest shins in wrestling.
Yeah, right. I don't believe any of this.
No.
And I'm not particularly into Charlotte winning.
I'm definitely cool with Charlotte winning. I think Charlotte versus Becky as a Mania match is great. If that's where they're going. Do you know?
Yeah, I feel like I'm spoiling everything for you.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know the plans?
Oh, yeah. Tell me the plans.
Becky versus Baszler.
Is that still the plan?
Yeah, that's apparently penciled in.
Well, I know that they changed it, right? Like, Baszler was supposed to win and Reigns was supposed to win. I know that. So I assume that they just changed the plans. Is it going to be Charlotte versus Bayley?
It's going to be Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley.
Oh, I see.
In fact, as we're recording this on a Wednesday, tonight's NXT, Charlotte's going to NXT to sort of answer Ripley's challenge, which she made on Raw.
Oh,
so this could be the first week that NXT beats AEW this year.
That's really... I mean, like, that, in terms of cementing NXT as like a third brand, I think that's a really, really, really strong idea, actually.
Yeah.
Having someone of Charlotte's stature, a Royal Rumble winner, being like, no, I want you. I mean, poor Bayley. Poor Bayley. I think that's really, really great.
I
don't know why she wouldn't want to fight Becky, though. Like, narrative-wise, year on from Becky winning the biggest match, and Charlotte has still got that kind of gimmick as a conceited, I should be the top of the card heel. You'd think that she would want to fight Becky.
And she was never pinned either, was she?
Exactly.
It was Becky pinning Ronda.
Yeah, because then you've got like, yeah, you never pinned me, I won the Rumble, I beat you at SummerSlam, you know, do you remember before you were the man?
Yeah.
Like, if anything, you have me to thank for literally everything that you've got. Like, there's so much stuff there, like, I mean, cool. I think that's cool for NXT, but I think Charlotte Becky would have been fine, which is why I was cool with her winning the Rumble, like in the first place. Baszler would have been great, but I thought Charlotte, yeah. I mean, she's one of the biggest female, if not the biggest female wrestler in the world, like from a mainstream perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of want your Rumble, like Hall of Fame, to be have those names in it.
And she hasn't won it yet, which apparently is one of the backstage reasons why she won it.
Because she hasn't won
because
it.
Because she hasn't won it.
I mean, it's been she's been in two, right?
There's only been two. Well, it's three, including this year's.
Yeah, but she wasn't in the first one.
No, it was Asuka. Oh, yeah, because she was...
She was one of the champs.
The title match, yeah. So it was Asuka last 2018. Yeah. Becky 2019.
Yeah, I suppose you can't have two Rumbles without her.
Well, thank you ever so much for everyone joining us here on this little bonus podcast.
Yeah.
We'll have Pete and Laurie back tomorrow with NXT, and me and Luke will be doing AEW, and then there's Pete and Andy with SmackDown on Saturday.
Gosh,
it doesn't stop.
Wrestling just
never ends.
Doesn't
stop. Oh, and the most exciting thing of the month, it's the WWE Q1 Investors Call tomorrow, and me and Luke, going to be going through that on the podcast on Friday.
Wow.
Numbers.
That sounds really boring.
It's so interesting. They fired everyone.
Oh, that's right. I have to apologize for being so
out of the loop. And the XFL starts this weekend.
No, that's true. They did. They jettisoned, who is it, like three of
their
top?
Michelle Wilson and George Barrios.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those big guys. Yeah, former champions, both of them. They never won the Rumble.
Yeah, but they've been with the company for what, 10 years? Crazy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so give us a subscribe wherever you're getting your podcast from. Luke usually does the intro or outro. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.